Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 26th day of August, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is better get ready for the transition to a new system. And, of course, there'll be some other topics. Before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. These people are today known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shemai, and welcome to the program. We do welcome callers. We ask that you wait for just a little bit, though. And when you do call in, if you would, keep your comments and or questions short and to the point to allow others to participate. As usual, we are in the question and answer mode. So if you're on a telephone, you use *6. That lets me know that you wish to speak. And if you're on computers, there is a Q&A button on the screen. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and we do have a lot of information there, including the schedule for these calls. If for some reason you're not getting any mail from me or whatever, I have a daily mail page where I put the most up-to-date and pertinent information that I feel you need to hear about up on that page of the website. Archives of these calls and previous By Yahweh's Designs are also on there, going back to as far back as 1999. A lot of health information is there. That's been updated recently. Also aids in learning about the identity message, because this message is critically important, as some of the newer listeners who have contacted me have told me frequently that this changed their life, which makes sense, right? That this message answered the tough questions. This message gives insight as to who is who, and this is ultimately important in this day and age. If you don't know who you are, how do you know where you've been and where you're going? If you don't know who your enemy is, as Sun Tzu said so long ago, if you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, you will win no battles. No battles. Caucasian guy over in Holland, welcome to the program. And that's one of the things, praise Yahweh, with this new technology. It's not always our friend. We know that for a fact. However, it is interesting that so many people from so far away are listening to this program and picking up information from it, and they are also passing it on to others. Back in the early days, I remember we used to go over many FM broadcasters. The FCC had rules that if you had an FM radio transmitter below, I believe, 5 watts, you could broadcast. So many of the listeners would take tape recordings of the programs and broadcast it in their area on the FM radio dial. So, you know, Yahweh's people are clever people, all right? And we figure out ways around what the enemy's doing to get this message out there. Just for instance, Gmail has been shutting down most of my bulk mail lately, and I've figured out a few ways to get around that. But, you know, we don't give up. We never give in. That's what Yahweh put us here for. Adam was put here to tend this garden, and we plan on tending it until Father takes us home. I see John in Miami says here that John McCain supposedly, allegedly, is dead. And he says here, what a shame he wasn't rounded up for a trial and execution. Actually, he is scheduled for a trial and execution. That's why he has skipped town. As Jimmy and his audience over at Bank versus UTV, welcome to Jimmy and to the crew over there. We certainly welcome them to the radio broadcast as well. I believe personally, until I see the body, I'm not going to believe it. It's interesting that In Pursuit of Truth had a video today talking about one of the newest scandals that's out there that's revealing kill orders that came from the top, Leon Panetta and George Bush Sr., and corruption within the CIA and Department of Justice. The rabbit hole just goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and more evidence is coming out. And Q alluded to the fact that many of these bad actors will feign death in order to try to escape. Because if you believe they're dead, then of course nobody wants vengeance. Nobody's looking to bring them to trial. They can scurry away and live out what's left of their miserable existences in some paradise over in the islands or whatever, living off of their ill-gotten gain until they finally do die. And In Pursuit of Truth talked about a general that helped bring in the New World Order with George Bush Sr. They faked his death. The administration and the CIA faked his death in order that he could hide away. And that was his reward for assisting in bringing in the New World Order and laundering money and things such as that. So there you have it, case in point. So when you see these top-level people all of a sudden, quote, dying, that's a quick and easy way to try to disappear and escape judgment. Guess what? It doesn't work. So, yeah, for a time, they'll be over there sipping on their Mai Tais under the tiki hut. And believe that they've gotten away with murder, rape, prostitution, money laundering, fraud, theft, destruction of property, and injustice to mankind in general. Yeah, they think they got away with it, but guess what? As Q has alluded to, we have it all, meaning the NSA and the white hats within our military, they have it all. So the very devices that they've told us about for many years that they would use to invade our privacy and keep records on all of us has also been used to collect volumes and reams of information on the deep state and the bad actors. Now, people choose to think that no, things are going to continue to go awry, that it's Armageddon has to come and the tribulation has to come. And, you know, folks, why? Why? Why do you believe it's got to get worse in this world before anybody turns it around? How much worse do you want it to get? You know, in my personal opinion, and again, this is my personal opinion, and if you'll notice, I've gone to referring to myself as Commander Dan, as some of my listeners asked me to do, rather than Pastor Dan, because, you know, so many people put labels on folks and then expect them to be what perfect from that point on. You know, it's kind of ludicrous. You know, you call yourself Pastor Dan, but I heard you say a curse word there one day, Dan, and you know, I know you stubbed your toe and you said some curse words, and I think you've probably had some impure thoughts from time to time. So, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, they just call me Commander Dan, or just call me Dan. I really don't even give a damn. It's at this point, if you're that ate up, if you're that stuck in a rut, you're not going to help anyway in solving any problems. You're not going to be much good to anybody. And for the few trolls out there that send me the hate mail, go ahead, keep it up. I know it's you Jews out there that take shekels from Tel Aviv East and Tel Aviv West in Washington, D.C., because that's the only thing that you're capable of doing. You're no use to humanity whatsoever. And so all you can do is sit there and try to send hate mail and cause hate and discontent. So you don't bother me. In fact, I've said it from day one, 19 years ago now, when this radio station started. I'm not here to make friends. I've never been here to make friends. I'm here to simply pass on information as it's given to me, or as I discover it, or as Yahweh reveals it. Okay, that's it. What you do with it is your business. All right? I'm not here to convince you of a damn thing. I'm here to simply pass on what I know. And what you do with it, again, is between you and our Heavenly Father. I wish people would stop misbehaving. I wish people would understand the things I understand, and there would be so fewer arguments. And speaking of arguments, I got an argument with my own brother over some of the things that we talk about on this program. I think he might have been pulling my chain, because sometimes he'll do that to get me dump more information quicker. But it just goes to show you that some of our people are just stuck in this rut where they think that the mainstream media or whatever's coming on these tubes, these flat screens, whether it's your tablet, your computer, whatever, that's factual. Just like with McCain, I said something to the effect that I'm not sure he's dead, and that turned into an altercation. Well, of course he's dead. I said, well, wait a minute. What makes you think he's dead? Well, the news said it. I said, oh, the same news that told you 9/11 was done by Arabs with box cutters? Building 7 that they completely ignore was they don't even try to explain that one. Okay, that same media that clear back in 2001 lied and covered up in collusion with the government, bad actors in the government, that media is what you're going to trust and call that proof? You don't have proof. The only proof you have is what the Bible says, 2 or more witnesses. That's proof. Something you see with your own eyes as far as your own personal convictions, things that you learn or see yourself. You can't be trusting other people, and that includes me. And that's why I like the YouTube channel In Pursuit of Truth. He's even said the same thing. I don't expect you to believe anything I'm saying. What I expect you to do is start thinking for yourself, listening to what I'm telling you, and then you go do your own research. Exactly the way I did it. Way back in the beginning when I was first given the roots of my identity information. I didn't believe any one person to be the purveyor of all that's right within this message. Never. I studied every teacher there was, knowing full well that none of them agreed on anything, really. But I took all of them together and then took the pieces that made sense to fit my version of this message. And there's people saying, well, Dan, why would you do such a thing? Well, because, little sheep, that's what the master told us. He didn't say follow the false prophets out there into the pit, did he? He said, you as the sheep have a duty to pick the right shepherd. And how are you going to pick the right shepherd if you don't do at least a modicum of your own research? Okay? So again, I'm just a source, as there are many sources of information out there. You take what I say, you put it with what you know through your life's experience and empirical evidence, and as the Bible says, accept all things and keep that which is good. Hallelujah. We learn together as a group, a family, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's quite that simple. And as we put our egos to the side, as we put our vanity to the side, and we open up our hearts to work with one another, then that's where the victory comes from. Do you folks even have a clue as to the power that's in unity? You know, it was interesting. I got into a discussion with some of the gentlemen recently, and we've had some excellent discussions lately. I think Father's beginning to, there's a crack in the door for the blessings that I believe Father's going to pour out on his true sons and daughters. But we got into a discussion of how did the Amish, and you got to remember, I grew up in Amish country in Pennsylvania. How did the Amish succeed for so long in avoiding the entrapments of Washington, D.C. and Harrisburg. How did they do that? Well, first of all, they didn't compromise with the devil. Remember, we talk about the word Rhadamanthine, to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. Well, the Amish took that literally. They took their faith literally. And they basically said that we, as a man, woman, and child of this faith, we don't want anything from you as government. Nothing. We're not going to ever ask you for health care. We're never going to ask you for retirement. We're never going to ask you for anything, because our faith says that we are to take care of each other. It's really that simple. So when the government tried to force the Amish into anything, the Amish as a group said, no, thank you. We're not going to do it. It's really that simple. So the answer to the question was unity. Why do you think the enemy, the adversary, Diablos, Satan, why do you think he tries to keep us divided on every level imaginable? Men against women, children against parents, neighbor against neighbor, race against race. Why do you think all that division is being promoted by the Antichrist? Because the power we have is in unity. In fact, I had an acronym that I made up years ago. UNITY stands for the United Nation of Israel, meaning Jacob Israel, our people, the United Nation of Israel, under the theocracy of Yahweh. UNITY. Because that was the secret for success. That we recognize that we are a racial family and that we will be united as a family and as subjects to our Heavenly Father's law and guidance, not man's law. But you see, the apostate church has been around for a long time. I like what everybody says. Well, the great apostasy has to come, Dan. I mean, come on. We're not in the end times yet. We have all this other travesty and the beheadings and all. Really? Take a look around, dude. Just because in your neighborhood they haven't come in and lopped off a few heads or raped your daughter in front of you yet, doesn't mean it hasn't been happening elsewhere. People of faith have been murdered for decades, centuries. The innocent blood on this earth probably does come to a horse's bridle already. The tribulation's been amongst us for many years. Very well hidden, but that doesn't mean it wasn't there. Just because you sitting in that comfy chair in your living room watching that idiot box and you didn't see it, and the idiots that run that mainstream fake news didn't tell you about it, you assume that everything's hunky-dory in the world, right? No, there's been misery and travesty for a long time. There has been tribulation for a long time. I choose to think that it's time for retribution. I like to think that it's time for a revival and a reset. And there's a lot of evidence starting to come out that our Father believes it's time for a reset. You know, in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 22, "For there is nothing hidden except that it should be made known. Neither was anything made secret but that it should come to light." That's also followed up in Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 8, and in chapter 12. Almost the same kind of wording. So we're given multiple witnesses within Scripture that tell us that, yeah, there's a lot of things hidden, but Father will make it known to us. All right? And with the knowing comes an awakening, and with the awakening, a restoration of faith, and with the restoration of faith, a unification of Yahweh's people. That's what he wants. He wants us to be unified as a people. You know, I've been lambasted by the rabbis over at EFR because I dared to challenge circumcision. I dared to challenge NASA. And I dared to challenge the Catholic doctrine under Jewish influence of monogamy only. Yeah, how dare I do that? Oh my God, Dan should be taken out and burned at the stake. You know, if we lived a few hundred years ago, those bastards would have done that. And you would have cheered them doing it. Yeah, many of the listeners over there would have cheered as I was tied to a stake and set on fire. Because just like those who challenged the Antichrist Pope, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's sickening. You want to talk about heinous and despicable things done to innocent people? Just take a look at the eyewitness accounts in Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime instead of watching that retarded idiot box or any of the other mindless, useless entertainments that we have dumped on us these days. Just take a look at that book. All right? So I like what Dan, I think that's Dan from Georgia's put in here. Jacob, otherwise known as Israel, had four wives. King David, a man after Yahweh's own heart, had eight wives. What's the big deal? Yeah, that's exactly my thoughts as well, Dan. What's the big deal? Why the stigma? Well, the stigma is the fact that our enemy knows that by destroying that, the practical application of that form of marriage, he destroys the unity, he destroys the power of our families. And there are tremendous books and tape series done by identity ministers such as Pastor Hallstrom there in Kingdom Identity Ministries that go into great detail of analysis. James Stivers wrote an excellent book. It's a short book, but it's excellent, of why our Heavenly Father condoned, supported, and even promoted that concept of marriage. Okay? But the point of I'm trying to make here, whether you agree with it or not, is the fact that we have members, even in this day and age, we have members of our congregation that if they had been given a torch and some rope, that I would have been burned at the stake for just bringing up the subject. For just bringing up the subject because it challenged the chief rabbis in what they think identity is teaching. Why? Because they've painted themselves in a corner with their sermons and with their writings to where they left themselves no wiggle room. Okay? That's a mistake by our people. That's why you've never heard me ever say I'm a perfect man or that I'm the only source of information. I'm a source of information, not the one and only source. Your greatest source of information, too. Yeah, your Heavenly Father. Through the Holy Spirit. Each of you as an individual have access to the Holy Spirit. Each of you as an individual can be a king and a priest, can't you? So why do you need any individual telling you anything? I'm not here to be lording over you and chastising you and putting you in judgment. That's not my job. You have a judge already. You have a commander already in heaven that's going to do that. I'm simply here as a servant. I'm simply trying to walk with Father in the closest relationship I can because it's not only best for me as an individual, it's best for the people I love. And I have a large family. I have a large family. Now, does that family mean that I will give up on the truth and stop teaching the message? No. Nothing on this earth is that important. I've had a lot of people look at me and think that I was somewhat aberrant for having that thought or idea because, you know, we buy into the Jewish propaganda and the television propaganda that things like your children are the most important thing on earth. Well, they are? Show me the scriptural basis for that, would you please? I'm waiting. I've been asking that for a long time. Show me the scriptural basis that says my children are the most important thing on earth. You know, in 19 years, I haven't had anybody that was able to do that, but I'll put it out there again. I'll listen. Set me straight, because I guess I'm a simpleton. I read the book. I believe what it says. It says eat food that's good for you. It's not just the food laws, people. You're not supposed to put GMO shit in your bodies. You're not supposed to put chemical dyes. You're not supposed to eat hybrid foods and foods from hybrid seeds. That information's starting to come out worldwide. Yet here in the United States, we still make fun of such things, don't we? I still have people looking at me like I'm from another world. It actually should be common sense. You shouldn't even need to quote scripture to you to know that. Your body is a temple. A holy temple. The word holy comes from the original language, means to be separated or set apart. It doesn't mean pure in the sense that never make a mistake. It means to be set apart or consecrated to Yahweh. So your body is a consecrated, set-apart temple where your Holy Spirit resides while you walk this earth. You're supposed to take care of it. I don't see in the scripture where it says it's a suggestion. Again, if I'm wrong, please put it up here in the chat or call in. I got no problem with being corrected, but I don't see it. I don't see where you have a choice to take care of your body. Not to mention the fact that there's not much respect for somebody that won't take care of their own body. Why would I think I should listen to you as far as your advice on any matter if you don't even think of your own self as being important enough to take care of it? Explain it to me. I'm waiting. All right? But the point I was getting back to again is that we as a family will work through the things that are happening right now, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we will come to conclusions and we will figure this out and we will make it as a family. That's why I like the phrase that's used in the 8chan and Q post material that says, where we go one, we go all. Isn't that what scripture's telling us? Isn't that the idea behind the Israelites in general? The promises, the covenants, where we go one, we go all. Three quarters of the Bible deals with us as a race of people, not as individuals, as a race of people. Jacob, Israel, the 12 children, the 12 sons. He had daughters too, by the way. But the 12 sons that became the patriarchs, oh, there's that word again, became the patriarchs of their families. You know, I read an article yesterday that they've done DNA analysis and they said that Genghis Khan, and we all know who Genghis Khan was, his DNA shows up in something like 16 million people in the Near East. 16 million people walking this earth with the DNA of Genghis Khan, who was a phenomenal commander. He was a bit brutal, but you know, Genghis Khan was one of our people. He was an Adamite. I'm not saying he was an Israelite, but he was an Adamite. He had auburn hair and green eyes. A lot of people say he was a Mongolian. No, I'm sorry, but no. He was one of our people. Okay, Genghis Khan obviously had more than one wife if his DNA is in 16 million people that occupy that land over there today. All right? Our people, for many thousands of years, believed exactly as King David, Solomon, Abraham, and all the other prominent figures in the Bible. Obey the Father and don't obey men. Man's law is been taken over by a tribe that walks amongst us, who look like us, but they're not of us. And they have subverted Yahweh's law in order to suppress us, to take our strength and power away from us, to take our unity away from us. Isn't the old saying, blood is thicker than water? Why do you think the patriarchal system was set up the way it was? Because of that saying, blood is thicker than water. Do you realize that in the old days, a area such as a village or whatever may have only two or three or four patriarchs that were over virtually everybody in that town or that area because they obeyed the father? So there's a lot of strength there. You'd have a hard time penetrating something that's that close-knit. But you listen to the enemy. You listen to the propagandists. You listen to the Catholic Church, which is run by Jews. And today, it's not run just by Jews in general. It's run by Jesuits, the worst of the Catholic order, the most militant, the most murderous of the Catholic order. He sits in the white pope's chair. So he occupies the position of both black pope and white pope at the same time. Jesuit. And you wonder why we have the problems we have. You wonder why we have the attitudes we have. Because we think like our enemy instead of like Yahweh's children. I've often asked the question, what's it going to take to wake our people up? I mean, really, why is it that hard? Why is it that hard to take a look at what the Father has told us is his law and just simply say, you know what, I think I'll accept that. It may be difficult. It may go against my conditioning. But, you know, by God, I think I'll give that a go. And from my own personal perspective, for instance, in the food laws, I could have shunned it all. But if I could, I'm going to toot my own horn. Many years ago, as I learned through both the scriptures and in life and through the natural health courses, I learned that certain foods were not good for me. Now, you can have a choice where you fix your diet by those laws, or you can ignore them. And I made a conscious choice that, well, if it's bad for me, I'm going to avoid it at all costs. And guess what? There was a blessing for that. Now, I had a misconception that if I put that into practice and people could see that it worked in my life, that they would want to know what it was I did and why I did it, and they would want to follow suit. But, you know, our people aren't that way. They're stiff-necked, stubborn. That's a biblical way of saying stubborn, like a mule. Nobody comes up to me and says, Dan, man, you look pretty good for your age. Dan, you get around pretty good for your age. You can still play softball. You can still climb up on a roof. You can still, excuse me, ride a motorcycle, help a neighbor with a plumbing problem, whatever. But they don't. They don't care. They don't care at all. But they'll come to me and bitch about their health problems. I got family the same way. Bitch to me about their health problems. Do you think they want to hear when I tell them what they should fix? No. They want a quick fix. You mean you don't have a pill? You don't have a serum I can squirt into my veins? I don't want to have to do that. That's too hard. Where have we read that before? Oh, it's too hard. It's too hard. And yet, what did Christ say? I give you these rules and regulations as a benefit. That they rest lightly on your shoulders. I don't consider it as an evil thing that the food laws exist. And yet so many people do. I looked at it as a blessing. Father told me, I put certain things on this earth, and you're eating them. And I put them there to clean the earth, such as pigs and shrimp and crab and lobster and shellfish. I put them there as garbage men to clean and purify my earth, and you're eating them. So you're not only doing damage to your body, because your body was not meant to digest it, you're damaging the environment, thinking the whole time that you're okay because, you know, they taste good. Yeah, I went down and had some shrimp scampi at Red Lobster, and boy, did that taste good. Well, you can take arsenic and wrap it in chocolate and probably have it taste pretty decent going down, but I don't think you'll like the results. Just because they can cover it up with enough sauces and spices that it tastes okay doesn't turn it into good food. And I praise Yahweh, I have never thought shellfish was good. My father would eat it and try to get me to eat it, and I would never touch it. Not once. There was absolutely nothing appealing about shellfish to me. I thought it was disgusting without even knowing the food laws. I didn't really care for crab and lobster that much either. I think I tried it maybe once. I do admit, though, to eating shrimp for a while, from about high school time to maybe 10 years. From high school to my early 30s when I learned the food laws. So I did have about a 10-year period where I would eat some shrimp. And to my chagrin, after I listened to the Pete Peters tapes on food laws, I gave it up. I haven't missed it. A lot of people say, oh, well, I'm good. No. You start doing things right. Hey, here's the good news. Now listen up. When you start doing things right and you start feeling the changes in your body, you start feeling that your digestive issues disappear, the aches and pains in your joints disappear, you find you've got new energy, you find your vision is starting to improve. I've been to the eye doctor the last 5 visits. My eyes have improved for the last 5 visits. Not a whole lot, but enough that I needed a new prescription. Because I was starting to get headaches a little bit, and here I thought it was because my eyes were getting worse. No, they're actually because they're getting better. 5 visits in a row. And when the doctor looks into my eyes, he says, Dan, your eyes are as healthy as a young kid. I said, well, thank you. And when he asked to put drops in my eyes, I said, no, thank you. Well, why not? I said, because you don't need it. If you see something wrong in there and you need a better look, you let me know and I'll let you put the drops in. But if you don't see anything that looks suspicious, you don't need drops in my eyes. You don't put anything in my eyes that doesn't belong there. A lot of people may think that that's a bit odd or cantankerous on my part. But the doctor just looked at me and grinned, and he said, well, if your eyes are in as good a shape as they are, and that's the way you do it, then I guess I can't complain. Yeah, it's the same way as a dentist when they want to put the fluoride in my mouth. No, you're not going to put fluoride in my mouth. I just tell them I'm allergic to it, that instead of trying to argue with them. I used to argue with them, but they're too brainwashed to even understand it, even though there's a ton of information out here about fluoride being a poison. I just don't understand our people sometimes. When the Bible says that we're stiff-necked and hard-headed, my God, that's an understatement. Our people are our own worst enemies because we think we know the truth, and we harden our hearts and harden our heads and never accept new information. That is one of the reasons I chose to leave EFR, by the way. Some of the people over there are trying to put the word out that I was booted out because I'm an apostate, which is bullshit. That's total bullshit. I left on my own accord. I'd had enough of their behavior. They can say whatever they want, but I know the truth, and they know the truth, too. Dan from Georgia says here, no one likes to admit they're wrong about anything. Well, I agree, and you're right. And I think Lori put in here, they lie about the health benefits too. That's how they hook you, meaning our Edomite friends, the Jews. Yeah, and that, in fact, there is a lot of information coming out lately from international health organizations about Big Pharma, which is Jewish controlled, and big agriculture, also under Jewish control, and the fact that they do what they do to make money, even though it's poisonous to us as a people. Case in point, I talked to my uncle, who's a farmer. He took over my grandfather's beef cattle farm, and he uses what they call no-till farming. Do you know what no-till farming is, folks? That's where they go in with a tractor and they spray herbicide over an entire field. And I got to see what it does because I was in the field with my uncle when I had this discussion with him. And there was nothing alive on that field. Nothing. Every piece of vegetation was dead. A little bit like Agent Orange. What have we found out about Agent Orange? So these farmers are spraying their fields, which that leaches down into the soil, by the way, and it kills literally everything on that earth, on that dirt. Everything dies. Then they come in with another tractor with tanks, and they spray a liquid solution that is seed mixed with liquid fertilizer and spray it all over the earth, and that, and then the crops come up. It's called no-till farming. I asked my uncle, I said, well, why are you doing this? I said, why not do it the old-fashioned way and plow the field the way you're supposed to, which puts air and oxygenates the soil, helps the worms, which bury through the soil, which also puts oxygen into the soil and helps the nutrients get through the soil to the root system. All of it is organic. All of it is by Yahweh's design. I said, and you're circumventing all of that, and you're killing the worms, you're killing the bugs, you're killing the vegetation, and the earth itself is getting harder, very compact and hard. Why? Because there's no bugs in there tilling it, and he's not tilling it with the plow. And what's the Bible say? The earth would become as iron? Oh, do you think maybe that's what it's talking about? And then they grow the crop on top of it, and you don't think the poisons that are in there killing everything go up through the roots into the food, what you call food that you eat? And he was growing field corn. Okay, we don't eat field corn because it doesn't taste all that good. But guess who does eat the field corn? Yeah, the Angus cattle that you're eating down at McDonald's and every other fast food place. The beef that you're buying in the store was raised on the corn coming from those fields. And again, if you don't think you are what you eat, then I have to say you're dumber than a box of rocks. Sorry. If the shoe fits, wear it. That's what I was told when I was a boy, and I didn't like some of the things people told me. If the shoe fits, wear it. It was kind of embarrassing sometimes, but I learned. Just like when the football coach or the baseball coach would take his clipboard and smack me across the head with it. Got my attention. Wasn't fun. It was embarrassing to be in front of the whole team and have a coach either kick you in the ass or hit you over the head with a clipboard, but it got your attention, made you work harder, and I'll guarantee you another thing, I never made that mistake a second time, whatever it was I was doing. And now we have safe spaces for our children, and we wonder why our children are so screwed up. Because we have safe spaces, and we outlaw. And I had a friend, a listener to this show from California, called me and said, Dan, do you know my children in school that they have passed laws here that you can't hurt a child's feelings? Can you believe that? A law that you can't hurt a child's feelings.
He hurt my feelings. Oh, arrest him.
That's where we've come from, being warriors who are willing to take a sword and go into the field and walk amongst the blood of their own brethren and the enemy in order to conquer and to protect the ones we love. We've become a people where we actually think it's okay to file charges because somebody hurt my feelings. And you wonder why we're not blessed? You have people so ignorant that they say, God bless America. God bless the United Kingdom. Why would a righteous God bless these lands? Why? Dan from Georgia says, I think nurses are forced to get flu shots here every year. It's not just in Georgia, Dan. My daughter is a nurse in the Northeast, and she told me it was a condition of employment. Do you see how they coerce you into being good and faithful slaves? Okay, my daughter knows that vaccinations are not good, flu shots are not good, but she also doesn't want to lose her job. Why? Because the beast has us locked into paying taxes and real estate law taxes and fees for this and registrations for that. Jimmy says here, yes, Dan, I know that firsthand from friends in the medical field. Yeah, they blackmail you into putting poison in your body as a condition of employment. You want to talk about the free state of Florida, as Jimmy and Jay and Michael and I and others and Phil over there, we talk about it all the time, the free state of Florida living under God's law. You wouldn't have any of that, people. Do you think it might be nice? Do you think it might be nice to live as our Heavenly Father intended, where you make the decisions for yourself and your family? Would you like to get back to that? Or do you like this system where a bunch of bureaucrats who are transgendered or queer or aliens of your race and culture, aliens of your faith, making decisions about what you do with yourself and your loved ones? You think that's a good system? You know, I tried to warn people from the 1980s on that when I saw it happening. I said, you know, putting people who are not of your kind into government is not a good thing, folks. What makes you think that blacks and browns and yellows and Jews and all that getting in your government, they're going to make decisions that are good for white Christian families? What kind of thought processes are going on in your head that you think that's going to happen? What's wrong with you? Not to mention that Leviticus and Deuteronomy make it very clear that you're never to do that. Again, the free state of Florida living under Yahweh's law. I'm all for it. I would love to go out and know that I own my land and nobody could take it. Nobody could take it. You can't tax it. You can't take it for highways. You can't take it for anything unless I agree to it. You have no right to come in and claim eminent domain. There's only one person that has eminent domain. That's Yahweh our Father. You bastards in government don't even come close to that qualification. Most of you are so corrupt, you stink to high heaven. I say it's time for pitchforks, rope, and torches in America once again. It's time to heat up the barrel of tar for tarring and feathering. And if you think that that's a joke, go look up what tarring and feathering was. Because the founding fathers, when we were colonies, and even when we became states, used to tar and feather government officials when they violated their oath of office. Go look at what tarring and feathering actually was. It was a form of execution. People say it was just to embarrass them. You don't understand anything. Go look it up. It was a form of execution. Dan from Georgia says, yeah, they make it so if you want to put food on the table, then you have to poison yourself. Yeah, exactly right. Jimmy says here, and it helps sell those concerned. Nurse says, it's so safe, I had the shot. Yeah, well, she's an idiot. safe my ass. Besides, I'll decide what's safe. If I want to put a seatbelt on or not, that's my decision, not yours. I have two friends that are alive today because they did not wear their seatbelt, that were in horrific car crashes. If they had been stuck in the car, they would have died. Even the medical people, the EMTs, etc., said that. All right? So why is your government moron allowed to make a law because the insurance company shoved shekels in his pocket? Why is he allowed to make a law that could cost me my life? No, they don't have that right. And you don't have the right to give it to them because of your cowardice. We're cowards today. We're afraid to stand up for anything. Caucasian guy says, if you travel, you must also take vaccinations here over in Holland. Yeah, they're trying to force it all on us, and you got to ask yourself why. With all the evidence that vaccinations either don't work or are actually poisoning, what do you think? What do you think? Now, Jimmy says here, tarring and feathering is a form of public humiliation used to enforce unofficial justice or revenge. It was used in feudal Europe and its colonies in the early modern period, as well as early American frontier, mostly as a type of mob vengeance, compared to the lynch law. Well, that's my whole point. When they had an errant public official, they would tar him and cover him in feathers. The tarring was pouring hot tar over their naked bodies and then covering them with feathers. Now, folks, just picture standing there naked with a large kettle of boiling hot tar, which is like asphalt, poured over your body. And you think you're going to live through that? As the article that I read many years ago about the tarring and feathering practice, as he said, if you were lucky, you died quickly. If you were unlucky, you would live in the pain and agony of having third and fourth degree burns over your entire body. Can you imagine the pain? It was a form of execution, people. Yeah, your enemy wants you to think it was just a way to humiliate. No, it was to humiliate you as you were executed. But you see, we're soft and gentler people now, because after all, what would Jesus say? That's what they tell you, right? The same Jesus that formed the whips that beat the Jews out of the temple. Okay, the same Jesus that said in Luke, To bring them before me that won't allow me to govern over them, bring them before me and slay them. Those are the words of Christ, by the way. Luke 19, verse 27. Bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. So you want to know what Jesus would say? There you got it. You don't listen to that prostitute behind a pulpit, because that's exactly what they are. Prostitutes. They're paid. They're given canned sermons every year. 52 canned sermons for the upcoming year. My brother challenged the pastor at his church the other day for trying to say something about slavery, and he had misquoted the scripture, and he tried to call the pastor in on it, saying that the Bible doesn't outlaw slavery, and it doesn't. But then again, in the ancient times, they didn't have a word that was our word, slave. It didn't exist. And people say, well, of course it existed. No, it didn't exist. They had a word in the Greek language called doulos. And doulos was meaning that somebody had authority over you. Basically a servant. Children were referred to as douloses, or douloi in the Greek. Wives were referred to as douloi because the husband or the head of the house was the authority over them. And servants, indentured servants, were called douloses because the head of the house and his family were in authority over them. It just simply an ancient term that says somebody's in authority over you. They didn't call it slavery, as we have from our Jewish Hollywood mind masters today. It was servitude. A wife goes with a man voluntarily, but she puts herself under his authority. He's the coveter for her. As commanded by Father, every woman should have a cover for her protection, exactly as Eve had Adam to protect her. And when did Eve get in trouble in the garden? When Adam wasn't there. When the men were not there to protect Eve, and Nakash the serpent came in and whispered those sweet little words to her, "You don't have to obey. You can be a god unto yourself." What's that mean? You can decide right and wrong. And yet, what did our father say? That's Adam's job. What did our own laws say here in the United States up until recent history? No woman could sign a legal contract without a male member of her family co-signing it. Did you know that? It was not a binding contract unless it was co-signed by a male member of her family. Why? Because Nakash knows how to seduce our women into believing lies and bullshit. Sorry, but that's the way it works. And it's a lot harder to deceive our Adam men. And I'm talking about real men, not these cucks out there, okay? These males walking around in bags of bones that look like men, they're not real men. They're just males. They're cucks. I'm talking about the real man of Yahweh. He is to be in authority over you ladies. And again, you don't have to like what I'm saying. I really don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm just telling you the way it works. I've seen it. I've studied it. I've watched it in practice where people actually live according to this law. I've seen it work. And I've seen what happens when you don't obey it, just like the food laws. I've got people half my age going in for hip replacement, knee replacement. People going in for surgeries, people on blood pressure medicine, far younger than I am. I don't put a single pharmaceutical in this body. I don't take little blue pills when I'm in the mood. All right, is that a blessing? I like to think it is. Maybe you don't. Maybe you think it's a blessing to go down and have that doctor prescribe pharmaceuticals for you. I don't. So if you want to believe that, well, you're more than welcome to tune in to somebody else then and just write me off as just a bag of wind and I'm just teaching nonsense. That's okay. That's your right. Again, my job is to pass on what I know. My job is to relate to you what I have observed and been taught by others throughout my life. That's my obligation. That's my promise to the Father. Dan from Georgia says, people who were found guilty of theft and couldn't make restitution to the victim were sold into, well, slavery or actually indentured servitude. This biblical way works much better than locking somebody in a cage where we pay for their food, medical care, etc. That's exactly right, Dan. And that's why I say, wouldn't it be great to live under God's law, where the kid down the street comes up and steals my car and we catch him? And he has to pay me for the car he stole and another car. That's his punishment. I get my first car back if he didn't damage it, and I get a second car as punishment. And people say, well, how's a young man going to get money for that? Well, he's going to work for it, just as Dan's referring to here. How's he going to do that? Well, he's going to get a job. Or he's going to sell himself as an indentured servant. Just like many of my ancestors came from Wales and Ireland and England and Germany to get over here to the New World. They sold themselves into indentured servitude. because they couldn't afford the boat passage to get here. It's a biblical concept. And you let the Jews tell you that, oh my God, the Bible says slavery is a terrible thing. The people are actually slaves. Oh my God. Our people are so freaking lame and stupid today. It's just unbelievable. The BS that we believe. Simply because a boob tube story was put up there, like back when I was in the Air Force, was when Roots came out. Oh, those poor black people. Oh, my God, look what happened. Of course, they don't show you the blacks that got out and raped and murdered. They don't show you what the blacks were doing to other blacks in Africa when these people were rounded up and sold as slaves to the Jewish ship owners from England. You see, they don't talk about that, do they? You see, it'd be really nice if for a change they'd give you the whole story, but they don't. They just give you the part that leads you down the path that they want you to go, the part that will get you to think whatever they want you to think instead of reality. You know, I love talking to liberals. When they start handing me the bullshit that all races are equal and they, you know, we can all live together as brothers and sisters, I said, really? You actually believe that? You don't believe what the Bible says, segregation, kind after kind? You don't believe that? Well, I think, you know, if you got two legs and two arms, you're all part of the same family. I said, no kidding. Really? Well, let me know what weekend it is that you're going to get your sleeping bags and your pup tents, and you and your whole family are going to go spend the weekend in Philadelphia, downtown Philadelphia, amongst the brothers. When are you going to do that? Well, I'm not going to do that. Oh, well, why not? Well, I'm just not. I said, you're not going to do it because it's not safe, right? Well, no, I'm not saying that. Well, wait a minute. Why aren't you doing it? Well, you're just being silly, Dan. I'm being silly? You just said that they're just like us. Then why aren't you willing to go down and pitch a tent and spend the weekend with these kind, loving other creatures of man of God down there in center Philadelphia? Why? Because you're a hypocrite, that's why. Because you know damn well what would happen. And yet you want me to believe what the Jew is telling us rather than what Messiah told us, and what the prophets told us, and what the disciples told us. Unbelievable. And again, so what Dan is saying here, the biblical law says that the child has to go to work and pay me back the two cars. And you know the first thing people say? Well, people wouldn't live in that system because they just refuse to pay. Really? Even when they know that refusal to pay is considered blasphemy? And, okay, Bible students, what's the punishment for blasphemy? Yeah, it's called death. So do you think the little brat down the street that stole my car will work? Or do you think he'll choose death by hanging? I think he'll find a way to pay me for the two cars. Now, you have to remember something else, too. If I want to have mercy on the child, maybe there was an extenuating circumstance, and he came up and explained it to me and was truly remorseful. I could tell. And he repented, and he made sure my car was in good shape, and he was willing to come up and say for the next couple months, he'll wash and wax it for me as punishment. But please, I can't get a job. I'm in school. I have the right as the victim to tell him that, you know what, forget the second car. You come up and wash and clean the car for a few months. That'd be really nice, but you don't have to go out and worry about buying me another car. You see, it gives us the leeway to be merciful. That's why even Christ himself said, here's the law. This is Yahweh's law. But administer the law with mercy. We're allowed to be merciful, but it's our decision, not some bastard in government. And if you haven't figured out that bureaucrats in government are bastards yet, You haven't come up against them yet. Every person I know that's ever run afoul of these idiots that call themselves government knows exactly what I'm talking about. And that's why the Bible refers to government as a beast. A beast. Just like a beast in the jungle, they're always looking for things to devour. They have no conscience. They have no remorse. Their only goal is to continually feed themselves, even if it costs you your life. How many people have lost homes and businesses over some bullshit thing on paper generated by a bunch of morons called government? Now, I know there's a few good people out there working within a bad system. I don't know why they stay in it. So I'm not trying to paint the entire body of the multiple tens of millions of bureaucrats that swarm over our lands. You might be one that actually has a conscience and some ability. Maybe. But the vast majority aren't worth a damn. In fact, they're a large part of why this country is dying. They're a large part of why all of the white nations are dying. You can't suffer idiots, people. Nothing in Scripture says to suffer idiots amongst you. Quite the contrary. The Scriptures tell us we're supposed to elect the best of our people to be our leaders. You're supposed to search for the best, not settle for the least. That principle runs throughout Scripture. Now, the title I had for today, or the agenda, was that we should prepare for a transition, and there's an awful lot of information coming in within the last day or so that says that we're right at that point. You know, and a lot of people are sitting there saying, well, Dan, you and many others, you've been talking about this economic thing and stuff forever, and it hasn't happened yet. No, I just don't believe it. Well, okay. Well, you know what? The people outside of the area where Noah was building the ark had the exact same attitude. Exact same attitude. Well, Noah, you dumbass, what are you building that big old boat for crying out loud? You know it's never rained here. Oh, Yahweh told me to prepare. Oh, you're an idiot. Noah, you're such an idiot. That stock market's never going to drop. My bank account's safe. The grocery store will always have food in it. The gas station will always be able to pump gas. What the hell's wrong with you, boy? I can't. Noah, you and that family of yours, you're sure odd ducks. You believe in that spirit or whatever up there? Look around you. It's as dry as a bone up here on this hill. Well, I'm going to build the boat anyway. Well, yeah, you're just a dumbass. But you go ahead and build your damn boat. Now, when the rain started falling, who do you think looked like an idiot then? Especially when the water started coming up to the point that the ark was lifted up off the ground and they're dying, drowning in the water. Who do you think's the idiot now? Yeah, the watchmen have been warning you for decades. I know, I'm one of them. I'm just one, but there's been many. The watchmen have been warning you, people. Just because some of these things take longer than you suppose doesn't mean they're not going to happen. I've told you from how many years now that the many military men that I've talked to, including Thomas Chittum, who wrote Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America, every home should have the supplies it needs to stay hunkered down for a minimum of 3 months. And that means literally locked in your house, not going anywhere for 3 months. And I'll tell you why, because out there on the roads, it's going to be dangerous. There's not going to be anything at the stores, the banks, or any of that anyway. They're going to be plucked clean overnight if the worst case scenario happens. And that's what you make preparations for, don't you, Boy Scouts? You make preparations for the worst thing that you can see possibly happening. And that's why he says, if you want to survive the violence and the mayhem, if there is a breakdown in society due to the transition that is coming, by the way, the financial transition is right here, right around the corner. The warning signs are everywhere, including the new $100 bill. 3 months supply. It doesn't take really that much to make sure you could stay hunkered down for 3 months. And again, remember, you don't have to eat like a king. You just have to survive. Because after all the idiots are dead from either violence or starvation or thirst, there's going to be a lot of real estate available. There'll be a lot of everything available when the wicked are gone. So all you have to do is survive. Oatmeal, honey, rice are plentiful at the moment and relatively cheap. Store up some. Canned goods, go to Aldi's, go to whatever. Costco, BJ's, Sam's, and pick up some extra. You don't have to do it all at once, but at this point in time, I'd almost say put it on your damn credit card because the financial system is going to fall flat on its face. Our debt is completely unserviceable as a nation and as people. Completely unserviceable. So whatever it takes to get that basement loaded up with supplies for a 3 month stay put, bug out, whatever you want to term it, situation where you stay put in your house with your family, food, medicine, water, filters, and I sure hope everybody has enough common sense to know that you better have some weapons and ammunition, okay? The Bible tells you, not only in Luke, but in other verses, that we should go out and buy a sword. Every one of us should have at least a sword. The equivalent of that today would be a military-style weapon, some sort of a military-style rifle. Second best would be a hunting-type rifle, pistols, and ammunition. Because there's going to be people try to take what you have. You can count on it. And nothing in the scripture says that I got to feed the wicked. Nothing in scripture says that Noah threw out a lifeline to the bastards in the water that were just ridiculing him for many years while he built the ark. Nothing in scripture says that he was to throw them a lifeline or a float or put out a little boat for them to. Nothing in Scripture says that, does it? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Interesting, isn't it? So what do we take away from that? Well, you take away from it that the righteous make preparations, and when Yahweh brings about the destruction of the wicked, you're going to watch it, just like Psalm 91 says. You're going to see thousands falling at your right hand and at your left hand. Multiple thousands. But the plague doesn't come unto you. Now, you have a choice. Which group do you want to be in? Those out there screaming and yelling and asking for a lifeboat to be dropped or a line to be thrown down? Or do you want to be the people safely on the ark? Okay, you don't have your pension on the ark, but you know what? Your pension was going to go away anyway. You don't have Social Security on the ark. Well, that was going to go away as well. Social Security is, as Jimmy says here, in like double jeopardy. It's hanging by a thread. They've spent that money many years ago. Because why? Because governments lie. They always lie. They're telling you they're doing something for you. Even my grandfather told me that when I was a boy. When the government says they're there to do you a favor, you better reach for your wallet. Because they're trying to get into your wallet. Take your money. They're not there to benefit you. They're just there to get your money. Why does the government not care what you think? Because you allow them to take your money from your paycheck. Years ago, they had to charge you the tax money, income tax money, at the end of the year. Once a year, they sent you a bill. And then they relied on you writing them a check. Guess what? You might challenge that. You might say, I don't think you deserve that. So what did they do? World War II, the victory tax. Oh, we need your money more quickly because we're in a war effort against them. Nasty Germans over there that are fighting communism. And we've got to stop them because Uncle Joe Stalin, our Jewish Zionist communist, must survive. So good little white workers, give us your money every payday so we can have more tanks and more bombs to kill them dirty, nasty Germans who are fighting off those Zionist communists. We can't allow communism to die, can we? Well, I guess they didn't really say it that way, did they? They said, no, we're going to build all those tanks and bombs to kill the nasty Huns. When in reality, if the truth filter was turned on, it would be, we're going to go kill the white Aryan moral soldiers. The most moral army on the field of battle in World War II was the German SS. That's a fact, folks. I don't give a damn what your professor and your Jews in school told you. That's an outright lie. The most moral army on the field of battle was the German SS. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Again, I don't care if you want to believe it or not. I've done the research. You want to challenge me, then get on the air and challenge me. You get out there and you read as much as I've read and study as much as I have, then I'll give you the right to challenge me on that particular issue. I'm willing to say I'm wrong, but you're going to have to do an awful lot of work. You're not going to hand me this BS about a holohoax. I know that's a lie. Even General Patton said that. General MacArthur said that. Ian MacDonald in Canada, a member of the Royal Canadian Air Force bombing squads, told me that on this radio station. We were lied to about the German people. Yeah, that's right, you were. Just like we were lied to about the Iraqi people, and we were lied to about the Syrian people, we were lied to about the people in Iran, we were lied to about the people in Afghanistan, we were lied to about the people in Slovakia. We were lied to about the Vietnamese, we were lied to about the Koreans. You'd think sooner or later we'd wake the hell up. Yahweh, please. Wake these people up. Unbelievable. Jimmy, do you got anything you want to add, buddy? I think I've been ranting on for a good spell here. I'm tell you what, I'm going to unmute you here in case somebody else has something as well.
Good morning, Dan. Just been listening with undivided attention. I would think that CNN probably would disagree with most everything you said, but I stand with you, sir.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Anything else on what's coming down the pike on your end as far as this changing of the financial system and the indictments of scum like John McCain? I'm convinced that that's the reason they're faking his death right now. Is because he's at the top of the list for the new indictments that are coming down?
I agree, and someone in your chat room said something that was definitely on my suspicious radar, and I believe it was maybe 24, if not 30 hours prior to the 4:30 on a Saturday announcement. And it was absolutely sickening, even when I picked up my morning newspaper off the driveway this morning and, you know, headlines, American hero dies. And, you know, and you said earlier in your broadcast, show me the body. Well, there's some pretty good wax museums out there that have some pretty impressive likenesses of certain people. So I am of the mind that McCain is hanging out with Elvis and Prince right now, sipping on a umbrella. And here's the egregious thing about that, and this has been kind of brewing. Cindy McCain, by the governor's appointment, is set. Now, I haven't heard anything since his passing, but she is in line to take his place. And I'm not a constitutional scholar per se, although I'm pretty up to speed on it, and I did stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night, but that to me is just absolutely beyond unconstitutional to call it. I mean, that's a regime, you know, next to how is she the successor to his seat? And then as far as the financial crisis, I mentioned this to some folks yesterday in an off-air call. You know, what was it, a week or so ago, the FBI puts out this announcement that ATM hacks are imminent. Well, if they're imminent, then that's your sign to, you know, ward it off. I, as a young man, had a very successful business in banking. Not banking as you'd think, but banking systems. And we installed ATMs. We had our employees inside data centers. And I'll tell you what, it has evolved since the 80s. And I think it's another prep for people to be prepared if the point-of-sale systems go down or the ATMs go down. I mean, there's a lot of signs on the wall that, to me, are credible. I'm an educated man. I try not to overreact. But I'm like you. I'm going to go source it out with my trusted group and through credible, even internet research. You can put together two and two, and I don't get my news from Fox or CNN or any of those liars. But something is definitely coming. And I had an off-air chat with another brother, and you know, I said I am prepared. My tagline on my show is educating by sharing, and I'm going to quote you, Yahweh, please wake these people up, because I have the heart of a human being that could get me in trouble. If I have Mama Bear and Papa Bear and two baby bears show up at my door when the crap hits the fan and they're hungry and tired and dirty, as soon as I open my door to them, Papa Bear could kill me, take over my cave. So I have mentally prepared that I have done my best to wake up people. My door's open. I do not monetize my efforts whatsoever. Nothing is donate or click here to Patreon and any of that. And I'm not really saying that's a bad thing, because there are people that do send a good message, that do need to have some funding to run their channels. These things are not cheap. But back to your question, there are so many corks about to punch out of the dike. And again, I think this John McCain death is, I don't believe it. And the mere fact that he stopped his treatment to become a martyr, oh, he's a man, look, he's going to face death. Yeah, you bet your ass he was going to face death. And real quick, too, open up the air for others, but my credible brethren in research, and I'm not a date setter, because I'm on the fence whether the crap is going to hit the fan before the midterms or after. I think the pre-crap is beginning to hit the wall. But all indicators indicate that sometime in early November is when these indictments are going to start to be enforced. And I tell you, I stand ready. Now, if the Democrats win, they're gonna try to impeach Trump probably before the champagne bottles are empty. And I'll tell you, in my humble opinion, the men of this country are going to stand up and say, all right, we've had enough. And I pray to God, in closing, that our military is secretly getting ready to do something to stop this craziness.
Yeah, really. Yep. Well, again, I've told people that all I can tell you that there's lots of smoke on the horizon. And somebody's going to go to Gitmo, and somebody's going to go in front of these tribunals, because they do exist. It's either going to be patriots because we've been lied to and fooled, or it's going to be scumbags like John McCain and Pelosi and the Podestas and the bitch of bitches, Hillary. All right, one or the other. That I can tell you. It'll be one or the other. Either patriots are going to fight and they're going to round us up and try to get rid of us, or there is good guys out there that we will work with and support, and we're going to round these bastards up, and they're going to go in front of the tribunals. But the tribunals are real. Yeah.
The day Hillary does the perp walk with the silver bracelets, there's a big open house party at my place. And I mean that with, you know, a little bit of levity. We like to have a little fun together, but I'm serious, because I think that would send a clear message to the American people that are not necessarily asleep. And I'm not saying that they're cowering in their homes either. I think that they are relying upon us, the watchmen, to keep the pressure on. And I think that would relieve this country and send, put the term honesty back on the table. With this clean house, and let me ask you a question, if I may, sir. What do you think about the double whammy convictions or of court cases in the couple weeks on? Oh my goodness, I'm getting old. My mind is failing. The two he was found guilty on 8 of the 10 counts. Brenner and that group. Do you think that's all theatrics, setting the theater for the next act, or do you think that that is actually solace to what we're discussing right now?
Well, again, we're not going to know anything possibly for another month or so, but before the end of January of next year, all this stuff will be out. So we're only talking months. I believe I was given a sign back in 2010 when I was contacted by a member of the military intelligence forces who listened to the show but also got a lot of email from me. I did not know that's who he was. And I had sent out a letter entitled Justification for a Military Coup. And it was written by a Scotsman. I think it was McIntyre. And it was probably the best treatise I've ever read on why a military coup was the only solution in America. Mostly from the standpoint that the military as an organization should look out for their own. Besides the fact that they're the last line of defense, other than the actual militia, they're the last line of defense when a country has swung into communism. And they should be interested in protecting their own lives, because our soldiers are the ones dying in these wars for profit. So when he wrote this thing, I thought, wow, this is excellent. So I sent it out to everybody I knew, and it turned out that a copy ended up in this man's possession, and he called me on it. And he wanted to contact me, and we did get in contact, and we ended up exchanging letters and eventually a phone call. And the gist of the conversation was, A, do you believe that letter's for real? I said, yeah, I do. Do you believe the American people would support such an action? I said, yeah, actually I do. The real Americans, I said, not your snowflakes and liberals and feminists and people that don't know that a penis makes you a man. I don't count them as real Americans. So no, they probably wouldn't, but then again, they're liberals and idiots, and they're not going to be armed, and they're not going to amount to much. The The real Americans, the hunters, the fishermen, the soldiers, the police officers, people that actually know and love this country for what it started out as, they're going to be all in favor of it. And I said, not only would they not stop you, but if they're like me, I'm ready to join you. I will do whatever you ask me to do in support. Now, I'm not going to commit murder, and I'm not going to rape, obviously, but as far as supporting the overthrow of the communists that have infiltrated America, I stand ready to do whatever you want me to do. Drive trucks, empty trash cans, clean latrines, I don't care. Load ammunition.
That's right.
Or tote a battle, tote a rifle to the front lines. You just tell me what you want. I said, because our country's dying, sir. Our country's dying, and nobody seems to give a damn. Now, here we are, fast forward 7 years later, all of a sudden we've got Q talking about military tribunals. And we have other sources talking about military tribunals. We got other sources talking about the good military, especially the admirals and generals that were inappropriately let loose from our military by the regimes of the Bushes, Clintons, and Obama, the communists. These men and women were true to our country. Well, they didn't go away. Some of them were murdered, like the admiral up there that they said fell out of his fishing boat. What a lie that was. All right, so some of them have been actually assassinated, which just further should solidify the good guys against these communists. So from that standpoint, I'm looking at this as a sign that there is a good group of military. Below the radar screen, you'll never see them come out in public. You will never see an email from them. You will never see them make a statement on Facebook, because you just don't do that. All this hoopla going back and forth with Twitter this, Twitter that, all this other stuff is for show. The real business guys are going to be about the business, and you're not going to see or hear anything about them until such time as they're ready to close the door on the ark and start bringing up to the gallows and start putting these communists to death, which is exactly what they deserve. Then you'll find out about them. But up until then, you won't. So that makes it a difficult thing to answer, Jimmy, because we know that the enemy has tremendous amounts of artificial wealth. They've bought and paid for a lot of politicians and corrupt military. So could this very thing be a ruse against us? Well, it's possible. Sure, it's got a mathematical possibility. However, my gut doesn't tell me that. The things I'm seeing and hearing don't tell me that. And I've got faith in my father that he would not allow his children to suffer under that. I believe enough innocent blood has already been shed. Far, far too many innocent men, women, and children have died at the hands of these bloodthirsty communists. I personally think that it's time to put them in the ground where they belong. And if it means that I've got to die to make that happen, then so be it. So be it.
I agree. And, you know, I've said on your show and on my air many times, I'm not going to fire the first shot, and I'm certainly not going to go into battle by myself. But if I got a knock on the door, and, you know, we don't need no stinking badges like in the movie Blazing Saddles, but if I had confirmation that they needed my body and my mind, I would go in a New York second. And I'm prepared. If I have to give my life for my country, I've given my life in the last 11 years as far as, you know, very low social activity, very, you know, I am 100% of the time, 99% of the time in my studio at my projects that I have going to keep my economy alive here. But I'll tell you, I've had enough of this. I've had some off-air chats with you. where, you know, it's like it is so obvious. And I truly believe that in at least the last 6 months to a year, a lot more people are taking notice, but they're not in a position to, A, believe that it's as bad as we know that it is, and if they heard me say what I just said, they would probably tell me to take a long vacation. But you said it earlier, sir, our country is dying. Our atmosphere, our soil, our food supply, our morals, the family unit is just all but nothing compared to what I grew up in. And, you know, and I'll get off a little bit on techie. 5G is, you know, I had a hand in development of the SMS system, which is now what people call text messaging, back in the 80s. And I love the evolution that I've seen, but 5G, and I'm qualified to say this, is nothing but a toxic further control system. Not only toxic through the induction of the frequencies that are intermixed with the 5G signal, but it also affords a level of electronic warfare against the people. And I had a long chat with a Verizon engineer a couple weeks ago, and this is going to be great. And like another conversation, which I won't say enough about, but what we need to do is we need to hardwire communities using fiber optics and things like that. And that's a way to deliver very ultra-high-speed packet transfer, which is what Internet is, without this wireless crap. And the fact that, oh, well, you could watch your YouTube video. First of all, I don't use my smartphone, if you want to call it that, for anything but business. You don't see me driving down the road watching a movie. Real quick story, there's a new family in my neighborhood, and I thought it was kind of precious. The dad walks his little daughter to the bus stop, and he's walking her to the bus stop, Dan, and he's got his damn phone in his face. I'm not kidding you. I see it on my cameras, and I've observed it with my eyes, and I'm thinking, that's father time. You know, it's we have a very kind of a private, woodsy, farmsy kind of community. You know, talk to the little girl while you're walking her to the bus stop, which is noble, and then stick the damn thing in your face when you're walking back home, maybe. But I just, you know, it took every bone in my body not to go out there and say, hey, you know, you see where I'm going, and I don't mean to nitpick, but we have got come back to, you know, family and caring for each other. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I like what you said earlier, tune out. CNN's on right now. Go watch them. Anyway, right. I got on a rant. Go ahead.
Well, no, you're 100% right. There's a lady that pushes her baby in a stroller right out in front of the office here. I see her a couple times during the day, and she goes down to the end and comes back. And the entire time she's walking, her head is tilted down, looking at the blue ray of death of her cell phone. Not once did I see her look up to see if a car was coming, if there were animals in the area, and she sure as hell wasn't paying attention to her child. She was more involved in whatever the piece of crap was on her idiot device than she was reality, the environment, the surroundings, and her own flesh and blood in that carriage. I mean, that is a microcosm of what's wrong in this country. And I'll tell you what, I wish, you know, if I was governor of the free state of Florida, I think I would make it legal for a motorist to see another motorist on their cell phone, to cut them off and pull them out of their cars and beat the crap out of them. I would be tempted to do that, because it's such a despicable, idiotic thing to see people, especially truck drivers driving great big 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there looking at that blue ray of death instead of the highway. I mean, they're driving.
Dan, in the mornings here, and I don't get out in traffic anymore, but I used to call it Dashboard by Maybelline. You got the women with every sun visor down, every vanity light in the car on, they're putting on their makeup while they're driving 60-mile, 70-mile-an-hour down the road. I've seen guys with the newspaper on their steering wheel. They're reading the damn, you know, stock market. And, of course, the cell phones, and I was telling this to my business partner last week. I said, Tom, it's not like they're talking on their phones. They're staring at the damn thing. Their thumbs aren't moving. What are they watching, a movie? Are they having a conference call with their office on video? I mean, I love technology, but you when you're on the road operating a motor vehicle, especially a big rig, you need to have your hands at, 10 and 2? And eyes right. on the road.
10 and 2, eyes on the road. And even with your eyes on the road, things sometimes can happen so fast that you have a very difficult time avoiding danger. I remember driving through Virginia many years ago in my pickup truck. I was leaving a job, and it was late at night, and I'm cruising down the road, no hardly any other cars on the highway, and I'm probably doing about 80. And out of nowhere, this great big buck comes jumping out of the woods
yep.
right in front of my truck. I mean, it was right there. By the grace of Yahweh himself, I missed him by maybe 6 inches. Maybe. My heart, I thought my heart was going to come right through my chest. And again, I didn't have a cell phone. I don't even think cell phones were in use at that time. But I didn't have anything distracting me, and my eyes were on the road, and yet that happened so fast, and I swerved at the very last second because my eyes picked it up instantly. What would have happened if I'd been looking over to check the GPS on the front dash of the car or to tune in to one of the 29 different FM stations I've got programmed or to play on a cell phone, that buck would have been in through the front windshield of my truck.
You probably wouldn't be on this radio show today, brother. Yeah.
That's right. I would have been dead. I would have been dead. And so, you know, when little lessons are taught to you like that, that just reinforced all the things my grandparents and my parents taught me, that when you're behind the wheel of a car, you're operating something that's capable of killing people. Not just yourself, but other people.
Right.
And it deserves your full attention the entire time you're behind the wheel of that damn car. Full attention. And, you know, I know things happen from time to time. You know, nobody's perfect. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But by God, as a society, we have gotten off the track in so many areas that it's like we need a major reset. You keep hearing about the global reset, NASARA, JASARA, the global and the National Economic Safety and Recovery Act or whatever it's called. Do we need it? Yeah, we do need it. We need to have the central banks disappear. We need to have large central government dismantled. We need the large central intelligence agencies dismantled. We need the Pentagon reduced greatly in both number and budget. We need our troops out of policing the world and back in our own borders. And we need to take all of those that are here illegally and round them up. And we need to kick out the people that don't make up the indigenous population and send them back home. Because commonsensical immigration clear up until 1965 did not have a quota for a non-European. That was in America until 1965, way past the end of the Civil War. There were no quotas for non-Europeans. And even of the Europeans, the only number you let in was equal to the number that left the country. So immigration never changed the demographics, excuse me, the demographics of your country, okay? That's insane. Anything other than that would be complete insanity. And yet, Jacob Javits, the Jew, and his little band of Jewish henchmen using the idiot Ted Kennedy as cover dismantled our immigration policy in 1965. To set us up for what we have today, which is a total disaster. I'm glad to see places like Norway and Finland and Sweden. There are Nordic resistance movements over there where people are willing to get out and say, this country is Nordic, and these people coming in are not of us. We have a right to our homeland, and these people do not have a right to be here. There's nothing that says they have a right to be amongst us. And that's true. The Bible, and then people say, what would Jesus say? Well, that's funny. In Matthew, he said, I've come for my lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel. I didn't come for everybody else. When the woman with a sick child came up to him and wanted him to heal her child, he said, you're not of my people. He said, you're a dog. Now, you want to know what Jesus would say? There, I gave it to you, right there in the book of Matthew. Go read it for yourself.
Yep, amen.
He called her a dog. Does anybody out there have a brain that still functions and know what it means when somebody calls you a dog 2,000 years ago in the Aramaic language? Let me give you a clue. It wasn't a really nice term. It basically said, you're not of my kind. Why would I give the children, meaning the sons and daughters of Jacob, why would I give the children's bread to a dog? So now, what would Jesus say? You take care of your own kind first. If there's anything left over, which is exactly what the woman said, yes, I'm a dog, but don't dogs get scraps from their master's table? In other words, don't I get a little blessing? And he said, your faith is great, which is basically saying, you understand, and therefore because you understand, yes, I will bless you. I will heal your child. He didn't say, I'll make you an Israelite. He didn't say, it's okay now for you to marry one of the men of my race. No, he didn't say that. He just said, you recognize the hierarchy that's been there from the beginning, and because of that, the Bible says, those that bless Abraham will be blessed, and those that curse Abraham will be cursed. Abraham was
humble versus entitlement.
Yes.
One thing that sends my business partner through the roof is the, you know, Dan, you know me, I will give the shirt off my back to someone that's humble and give them a hand up instead of a hand out. But when I see people that feel that they're entitled, I have, you know, you're a dog. And you and I had a personal interaction with that very scenario in our last meeting, which I won't go into and waste the remaining minutes here in your show. But that person, and I'm not a violent man, but that person does not deserve to walk this planet. You know who I'm referring to, I'm quite sure.
Yep.
Okay, but if she would have taken on a different stance, she probably could have convinced me, because we eventually did change venues. I may have, in the kindness of my heart, said, hey, guys, you want to go ahead and, you know, move to another location, since we're going to do that anyway in 30 minutes or so, just to be humble. If she was humble, I may have conceded, but the attitude of entitlement versus humble, does that make sense? Is that a parallel to what you're saying?
Absolutely, it's a parallel. You're right. It's, you know, I've said it for years. If you read the scriptures, and again, three-quarters of the Bible is talking about us as a race of people, not individuals. If you look at the scripture, and there are scriptures that even says that I will give the humble salvation. I can't remember the chapter and verse right now, but I know I've read it. I will bless the humble with salvation. That means humility, humbleness. Our people have forgotten about that, and many of these non-whites that have invaded our lands have no clue what humility is all about. But he said, if you will humble yourself, then I will bless you. And then are we not to mimic our Heavenly Father? That's exactly what Christ said, didn't he?
Oh, indeed we are. And
I'm here to be.
We could have shifted one chair. You know,
yeah.
I didn't realize it at the time, but after, because, you know, I don't dwell on things, but it just bothered me on she was the representation of what I've almost given up on, which is back to we cannot fix something that is so broken, but we can recreate a community called, say, the ARC Project. But you know what? We could have sat there as the men and say, hey, wait a minute, I have an idea. Why don't we all shift down one chair? That'll open up. There's one chair empty at the end of our group, and there's another chair that she moved into that was empty. And then, you know, I had gone to the men's room, and my belongings were on the table. My drink was on the table. And, you know, we could have figured out, why don't we all shift down one, and that will open up. And that's humble, and that would have made me feel good instead of walking away. And I'm thinking, and it wasn't her as a human being. What she represented to me is the pulse of what's going on. And she was probably in her mid-30s. And, you know, it wasn't like she was a bratty kid. She was probably a bratty kid all the way up to through her days, but there's always a way to. I'm an engineer. My job is to fix things, correct things, create things, and correct problems to the best of my ability. And we could have figured it out, but her attitude, I'll be damned if I'm going to put my mind to that. And again, I don't mean to, you know, wreck our peaceful Sunday morning here, but my point to that is, it sent a message to me about the general pulse of the community. And I don't watch TV, but if you watch advertising, ladies and gentlemen, and watch it with intent, those people creating those commercials are speaking to what they assume the general population is. And if that is a true rain gauge or temperature or feeler gauge onto my point of how society is so messed up, I don't know that we can fix it, Dan, but the next best thing is we create our own. We create our own, or we do the Florida Project and basically come in and say, look, this is the way it's going to be. This is God's law. You can take all this government over this, that, and the other. $19 million was just released to make sure our election system was hardened down for this. Are you kidding me? $19 million to be sure that our elections are fair and safe. Well, don't we pay people and have systems in place? What happened to the Women League of Voters? They used to be the watchdog. Now they're as corrupt and crooked as a dog's hind leg. Anyway, I don't mean to rant, but, you know, yeah. I take a temperature of society on basic samples. One is general attitude of people. When I'm in traffic, I look around, and if they're not looking at their cell phone, they're gazing out the window. People aren't happy. They're worried. They're concerned. Oh. Yep. Or they're on, you know, some kind of wacky duty meds. Anyway, I will yield, but we have a serious problem here, folks, and I'll tell you, I am blessed to be part of a group of men that we are seriously discussing real-world solutions to our problems, and if you would all just pray for us, because we are on it. And with that, Dan, thanks for letting me join your show today.
Oh, absolutely, Jimmy. It's an honor and a pleasure. I wanted to read a letter that was sent to me by a gentleman. I've known him for quite some time. I think he's up in Canada by the name of Ralph. And I think he expresses some things that are representative, as you just said, to what's on the minds of many people. So let me just it's a short note here. My attitude about QAnon has changed. Before I was led by Yahweh to the identity message through you, I went through my Alex Jones and Steve Quayle phase. I have my doubts about Q, but my ego would happily handle to be proved wrong. I hope its origins are from the military. The one thing I learned from you is to keep an open mind. As you stated in your last podcast, QAnon has woke up a lot of younger people to the fact that the world is not what they thought it was. Whether it is true or something created for misdirection or profit, my prayer is that it leads many of them further down the rabbit hole to the identity message, which, as we know, is the real truth of the Bible. The ironic fact is that if it is not true, talking about QAnon, it has stated something that its founders, or excuse me, it has started something that its founders, if they had false motives, did not want to happen, which is the awakening. I also have been having very vivid dreams for the last couple of months, including last night. And I'll add that I've been contacted by no less than three of my brethren saying the exact same thing. The dreams of our people, especially our men, have increased dramatically. Every day I cry out in frustration to Yahweh. When is Obadiah 18 going to happen? I almost wonder if there is only going to be 144,000 pure-blooded whites left on this Eros, or Earth, when he comes back. At this point in my life, the only world worth living in is one ruled by Yahweh on the throne with his laws. If this state of affairs does not change soon, I have no desire to stick around. I will be here as long as Yahweh wills it, but to have to look at this crap around us on a daily basis sometimes is almost too hard to bear. My prayer every day is, Yahweh, not my will, but your perfect will on earth be done as it is in heaven. I know how the prophet Jeremiah felt as he tried to warn his people and got the short end of the stick for it. Yahweh bless Ralph. So,
amen.
Again, yeah, hallelujah. I love getting mail like that from our brethren because it speaks from the heart. You know, I don't need people with a false agenda or the pretenders or pretentious, the bad actors out there to communicate with me because, I don't need people to try to flatter me or any of that other garbage. What I need to hear is from the heart. And when you hear it from the heart, the Spirit speaks to you that it's from the heart. And that's the beautiful thing. You can't buy genuine feelings with any amount of money. Just ask the George Soroses and Rothschilds how many real friends they've got. It's zero. The only people that are loyal to these pieces of dirt are the ones they pay. If the money disappears, those same people will be the guy, people coming with them with a rope and a torch. The only loyalty they have is as long as the shekels keep coming into their pockets, because they don't deserve to have friends. They're evil. They're rotten. And so when you see genuine friendship and genuine emotion and genuine appreciation, it's a beautiful thing. It's a spiritual thing. And that's what empowers our people that these other people don't have. When crap hits the fan, Christ warned us about all the things we're seeing right now. He said, that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you ahead of time so that you're not too upset. You don't get too worried about it. You're still my children. My love for you goes out to you. You're in my protection. Yeah, it looks bad around you. Of course. But guess what? Psalm 91 says, the plague will not come under your tent. And how many people do we know right now in this sick, sadistic world that they live in their tents or their homes, whatever you want to call it, tents in that day. They live in their tents surrounded by this garbage, but the garbage hasn't overcome them. And that's why I say hallelujah. Is it not better that we be in the camp of the saints, even though we may not have all the money we want, we may not have a world that we want, because we're seeing that this satanic system is trying to take everything away from all of mankind? Yeah, but we also know that there's a great battle spoken of in the Dead Sea Scrolls. When the children of light, which means the children of enlightenment, the children of knowledge, the children of obedience to the living God versus the children of darkness, which is the children of ignorance and oppression and evil, there is a great war. And guess what? The children of light are victorious. I think we're in that time, Jimmy. I think we're blessed to be part of the army of the saints, and somehow, some way, we're going to play a part in it. At least that's my thoughts.
Oh, I feel it in my soul, Dan. And, you know, I drive a 2002 Oldsmobile with 56,000 miles on it. She's been well taken care of through the years. I've owned her since she was new. And, you know, like you said earlier, I used to eat shrimp, and I loved lobster soaked in butter. I used to love, you know, pork chop surprise. And after speaking with you and meeting with you, and, you know, I've abstained from that. I did have my boats and my half ownership and a plane. And, you know, I live in a large but modest home. It facilitates my computer system, which allows me to conduct my business. I used to be, back in my 20s and 30s, kind of like the guy about town, out, you know, swinging it. And Dan, I don't miss any of it. I think it was just the boy in me. Not to make excuses, but I am 100% content with what's going on here. And again, I'm honored to be in the circle that you have created and others have joined. And again, the way we met was kind of a divine intervention. And for that spark to take fire is 100% a sign that we have work to do. And frankly, if I may say just briefly, I think we moved a lot of mountains yesterday, and I'll just leave it at that. But I do look forward to our upcoming conversations, both on air and off air. Thank you so much for your gift of time to do your two weekly shows. And I just would ask that our listeners and our believers say a prayer for us, because we are at work, and I will never give up on any of this, Dan. Never is never.
Amen, brother. Amen. And with that, I think we'll go ahead and close it at the two-hour mark today. Let people get about their business. But yeah, you're right. We don't need to go into details. Folks just need to know that the men are coming together. I believe personally Yahweh has opened a couple rather significant doors for us within the last 24, 48 hours. And we're waiting to see an additional sign. But so far, things look really, really good, very promising. And if we're successful, we're not only going to be able to provide a sanctuary for our people, but there's also a very strong possibility it could turn into employment for our people, something dearly needed at this point in time. So with that being said, keep Jimmy, Michael, myself, Phil, and Jay, and Ron in your prayers, that we men are guided by the Spirit, that we can work together as brothers, putting all ego aside and any agendas that we may have had with us. Let us be purged of all of that and just think about the greater good of our people and survival of our people. Because, again, the signs are there, folks, that a lot of these things that you take for granted today may not be there a few months from now. And that includes, by the way, Social Security, pensions, especially state-run pensions, and even the central banking system run by the Rothschild Jews. It may be a completely different system, and nobody knows for sure how this is all going to work out, whether it'll be peaceful, whether it'll be a struggle. We don't know. Yahweh may intervene, and it's relatively seamless, or it could become quite chaotic for a few months. We really don't know. Therefore, again, the preparation to have a supply of food, medicine, and water, and shelter, and weapons to survive on your own, completely on your own, for a minimum of 3 months. All right, Jimmy, I'm going to go ahead and mute you, buddy. Yahweh bless, and thanks for being a part there today.
Yahweh bless, Dan. Have a blessed Sunday.
Amen, brother. And we also want to say thank you to the Bank versus UTV audience that joins us as well, all the good folks that have been here on the conference call, and for the folks that listen later on downloads. Yahweh bless each and every one of you. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We know we have a lot of detractors and trolls out there. Give us the discernment to weed them out and to throw them into the bushel basket over here of forgetfulness, because they don't matter and they don't account for anything. Let us focus instead on those with true hearts and true intentions. Give us a good spirit of discernment, especially in a world full of lies and deceptions. The famine for the truth is here today. It's upon us. But the good news is that your children have a Holy Spirit as a counselor and a guide, and by that Spirit we can see through the lies and deceptions. We ask for continued forgiveness for our stumblings, our shortcomings, and our falls and fumbles. We have good intentions, Father. I think you know that. If we have anything bad within us, cleanse us of it through whatever method you want. But we need to stand tall as men, especially the men. My main ministry is to the men. By God, guys, we've got to get our act together. There's no time left. We have to stand up and represent the best of our race, the best of our sex. We need to be men, okay? We need to work together. We need to accomplish things. And ladies, you are adorable folks, okay? Love you to death. In fact, us men are quite prepared to go out and die for you. But by God, the men have to take charge, and the men have to figure out what we're going to do to fix this. And we just pray you'll understand that. It's not that we don't think you're important. It's not that your advice, your counsel, your support's not needed, because by God, it is. But you have to let us be men. We've been put upon, we've been subjected, we've been disenfranchised with this corrupt Zionist-controlled system. And just understand that we're fighting back. And as we struggle to become men again, there may be times we're a little short. We may say some things that might be harsh. But it's not because of evil intent. It's simply that we have been suppressed for so long that there's going to be a possibility of a slight overreaction for a short period of time. But just trust us. We'll come back to the middle of the road with Yahweh's help, and we'll get this thing figured out. And then we can live according to the laws of our Heavenly Father, which will bring peace, prosperity, and good tidings to one and all. And that means everybody out there. Those who bless Abraham will be blessed. Those who curse Abraham will be cursed. And Abraham is the father of the white race through Jacob. All right? That is our heritage and our destiny. And Father, we also ask that you would never let us forget that. Keep in memory all of the feasts and the meaning of the feasts, because they were rehearsals. They were dress rehearsals for the future. And after the events, they were reminders of what you have done for us in the past, that we might never forget it as we look at the trouble we're in today, knowing that you are with us every step of the way. The only requirement is that we are obedient to you and recognize you as our true head and none other. That's the key. None other. So we ask and pray all these things in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.